How do you do? The story we're about to tell is true, although names have been changed because of the sensitive issues revealed. Parents may not want small children to listen. It's the true story of a woman we'll call Celeste, who endured depravity in her family but overcame the consequences when her heart and mind and life were unshackled. Piercing the darkness with the light of the world, this is Unshackled. True life stories for everyone, dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Most people lock their doors at night, especially in the heart of a city, but Pacific Garden Mission has kept the doors open to anyone in need since 1877, welcoming desperate people with nowhere else to go. Men, women, and children receive nourishing meals, fresh clothing, and a clean, safe bunk for the night. And they also receive encouragement and counseling. The good news that God loves them and has a plan for their lives. The generosity of people who care about those in need makes all this possible. Changing lives is the goal at the Old Lighthouse, one heart at a time. And now for broadcast around the earth, here's program number 2,548 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Sit down, Celeste. How can I help you?
My boss thought I should get some counseling because I think he's being very harsh with me and he thinks it's all me.
Tell me what's going on.
Well, we simulate lockup for the students at the college so they know what it's like to be a prisoner. It helps prepare them for prison ministry.
How is this affecting you?
I feel things. Anger, resentment, a terrible sadness.
Why do you think that is, Celeste?
Maybe I'm identifying with the prisoners. I don't know. I feel a lot of pain and anger that I've never felt before.
Tell me more about that.
I've always felt worthless. I often wish I were dead. But no one knows that because I try very hard to please people, especially my boss. Most of the time, I work 65 to 70 hours a week.
What is your involvement in these simulations?
I help plan the lockup, make all the arrangements. Sometimes I play the part of a mean guard. I'm very good at that. I just imitate my dad.
Your father was mean?
Yes. He abused all of us kids. I would hide in the closet when he got started and hope he would forget about me.
What did he do?
Yell a lot. Sometimes he used the belt. I tried to be a mediator so we wouldn't have fights.
What do you mean?
I tried to get my brothers and sister to see Dad's point of view.
What about your mother?
She never interfered. Didn't seem to like me either. She paid a lot of attention to my siblings, but she rarely ever came to school to see my accomplishments.
How did this make you feel?
I wanted to be accepted. I tried to excel so I could please her. It didn't work.
What do you remember most about your father?
I have a lot of blanks in my memory. I've always had trouble with that.
Tell me what you do remember, the earliest memories.
Taking a bath with my brother and sister. Dad bathed us. Later it was just Dad and me. I had to wash him and dry him with a towel.
You took a bath together?
Yes, until I was a teenager.
Celeste, were you sexually abused?
I don't know if I would call it abuse. It seemed normal at the time. My uncles handled me a lot. And my older brother made me do things I didn't like.
How did you deal with that?
I just pretended I was somewhere else, doing something else.
You created a fantasy world.
Yes, I guess I did. It was safe, and everyone was loving.
Tell me more about your father.
When I was little, we took naps together. He snored and was heavy. But I don't remember anything really bad. I don't remember much at all.
Celeste, when people are in pain, they develop coping mechanisms. From what little you've told me, you've had a lot of pain, and your coping mechanisms are starting to fail. You need to face the truth about your childhood, because the truth will set you free.
In many ways, I enjoyed my childhood. There were always many family gatherings and parties in our home, but the dark side of those years had been pushed from my memory. I was 35 years old when I embarked on my search for truth. I had been married a dozen years to a wonderful man, and we had a 5-year-old son. I was doing work that until then I loved. Why then did I always have a secret wish to be dead?
Hi, honey. You're home early for a change.
That's the plan from now on. I talked to the counselor at work, and he said I should work 8 hours a day. Period.
Hey, I like that plan. We can have more family time. But what about your boss? He's gotten used to all that free overtime you put in.
I know. I always thought unless I worked 3 times harder than anyone else, I wouldn't be good enough.
You're good enough. Trust me.
I do trust you, Rob. I don't know what I'd do without you.
What else did this counselor say?
He said I should not participate in the lockups anymore.
Really? I thought you enjoyed them.
I do, but they stir things up inside me. Stuff about my family.
I always knew your family was strange. More than average strange.
My husband was right. For example, Mother and I had never been close. In 12 years of marriage, my parents had seldom visited us, even though we lived only 30 minutes away from them. So I was all the more surprised when, shortly after I began counseling, Mother wanted to have lunch with me.
These are supposed to be the golden years, with all the children gone. Huh.
What's the problem, Mother?
Your father hasn't been intimate with me in 12 years. That's what. I'm sick of it. And him.
12 years? That's how long I've been married.
Celeste, were you ever sexually abused?
Yes, Mother. But why are you asking me now?
I just wondered. One time I caught your father in bed with you and I yelled at him to get out of there. I gave it to him, but good. I didn't want you to experience what had happened to me.
How old was I?
I don't remember exactly. You were a teenager.
Which room was it?
The third floor, the room with the flowered draperies.
Mother, I don't remember it at all.
Well, I took care of it, so that was the end of it.
She had never discussed that incident with me. From her description, I was 17 when it happened, yet I had no recollection of the encounter. I took this new information to my counselor, who helped me join group therapy for victims of child sexual abuse.
Tell us about yourself, Celeste.
Well, I was born into an Orthodox Jewish family. My grandparents were Russian, but my parents were born and raised in Chicago, as were my brothers and sister and I. I always believed in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and wanted to know him. We entertained our family during Jewish holidays. I loved our Friday night meals together when we lit the Sabbath candles. My father would stretch out his arms and say the Kaddish over the wine and bless the bread.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. And may my sons grow up like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and my daughters grow up like Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah. Amen.
Amen.
Jews were a minority in all the schools I attended, but I was oblivious to bigotry because I lived in a fantasy world much of the time. School was a good place to be, away from the turmoil in my home. But I had to work hard because I often forgot what I learned. I often helped the teacher and did quite well. My best friend during those years was a neighbor, another Jewish girl named Jan.
Your bat mitzvah was beautiful, Celeste. I hope mine's that nice.
Thanks, Jan. I was afraid I messed up the recitation. I have such a hard time retaining what I memorized.
You did great. And you looked so pretty up there with your long hair.
Did you like the dress?
Yes, it was beautiful.
My dad lets me buy the clothes I like as long as I model them for him first.
Cool. Your dad is okay.
Yeah. He's unpredictable. He takes medicine for manic depression. Right now he's in one of his wild moods, so I'm staying away as much as I can.
Maybe you could spend the night at my house.
I'm afraid to ask him.
Well, ask your mother.
Yeah. She'll let me, even though she thinks I can't do anything right. My father was very intelligent, but he had many emotional problems. I became his confidant during long walks we took together, and he even came into my room late at night to talk. He often made unreasonable demands of my brothers that resulted in fistfights. but I would do anything to avoid a confrontation. I was compliant.
Oh, what kind of demands did he make, Celeste?
Well, in addition to our regular chores, he expected us to volunteer to help run the house. My siblings rebelled, but I didn't.
Being compliant is another way of coping, Celeste.
It was easier to agree than to have a big fight.
Did other family members make demands on you?
One day, my sister dragged me into my brother's bedroom, and they forced me to do what he wanted.
Did he tell anyone about this?
Who would I tell?
How did you cope with this abuse?
I learned to think about something else. He finally went off to college when I was 13.
Tell us about your teenage years.
I dreamed about being married. But I rarely dated anyone in high school. I was too afraid to ask permission to go out. Then I met Gary, who said he loved me. We were intimate, and I became pregnant at the age of 17. My mother took me to our doctor when she learned that I was a regular.
Doctor, can you tell me what's wrong with her?
Yes, she's 2 months pregnant.
Oh, no! Oh. I can't be!
Oh, Celeste, you can't have a baby. Doctor, what can we do?
Well, I can't help you personally. Abortion is illegal here, but I can give you the name of a doctor in Wisconsin.
No! All right. Mom, we need to think about it.
Well, you can't have a baby. You have to go to college at least for a year.
Listen, I'll give you the name and address. You make the decision.
I was never sure if the baby was Gary's or my father's. As president of the school board that year, my father handed out the diplomas. I was 2 months pregnant when I accepted mine. Shortly after that, I had an abortion and went into a real depression. That fall, though, I entered the University of Illinois at Champaign. I knew that many Jewish kids went there, so I had high hopes. At last, I would fit in.
We'll find out if Celeste really did fit in just a moment. Being homeless is hard enough if you're alone. Imagine what it's like if you have a small child holding your hand. When we first opened our women's division in 1943, there were far fewer homeless women than there are today. Because of the breakdown of the family, increasing numbers of women and women with children have nowhere to go. Today, Pacific Garden Mission's Gospel League home can shelter well over 100 women and children. Women who come from shattered families in abusive situations are relieved to find the women's division secure from outside intrusion. They have a safe refuge, a place to call home, and we try to create a homey atmosphere, too. Friends of the mission have donated colorful quilts for the dormitories, and we keep the children close to their mothers for everyone's peace of mind. The women have a sitting room and a kitchenette where they can chat or feed their babies. We also have a sunny playroom full of toys and books and a play yard for the children. But best of all, we have counselors and Bible studies to help these women and children get their lives back on the right course. If you'd like to know more about this important ministry, visit our website at www.unshackled.org or write to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org.
I was disappointed in the Jewish kids I met in college. They observed the rituals and customs of Judaism, but were not really interested in knowing God. I wanted to know him because I believed he would help me. Someone handed me a tract as I stood in line to register, but I didn't read it until weeks later. Then I asked my roommate about it.
Yes, I believe what this says. It's called the Four Spiritual Laws.
This is amazing. Our Messiah has come, and nobody told me.
You never heard about Jesus?
Well, yes, of course. I even went to vacation Bible school as a kid.
I thought you were Orthodox.
I am. But my parents let me go every summer. I guess they wanted to get rid of me.
Then surely you heard that Jesus died for our sins.
Yes, but I didn't know Jews were allowed to believe in Jesus.
Your spirit is free, Celeste. You can believe in him if you want. God sent him to die for the sins of the whole world, even Orthodox Jews. He came first to his own people, the Jews. They were the first believers. All his disciples were Jews.
I know, but I don't know any Jews who believe in him.
If you read the Old Testament, you'll see that he was prophesied throughout, especially the book of Isaiah.
I never read the Bible, but I memorized certain verses from the prayer book, like Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. I think that verse alone is the reason most Jews don't accept Jesus. It seems like idolatry.
Jesus said, I and my Father are one.
And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. I used to say that every night in Hebrew and in English as I fell asleep.
Isaiah predicted the Messiah would come as a suffering servant. He said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all.
It's true, there was always a blood sacrifice for sin.
So God sent his only Son to be that sacrifice. Through him, we come to God.
So Jesus is the missing piece. Well, that makes sense to me. I prayed the prayer which was at the end of the tract, but my life didn't change. I left the university after the first year and went home again where I registered at the local junior college. My younger brother was the only one in my family receptive to my new understanding about the Messiah. We discussed it one day as we drove to the store.
So, you believe Jesus was the Messiah?
Yes. Jews have really missed it about Jesus. He's the Passover lamb.
Did you tell Mom and Dad?
Yes.
Well, what'd they say?
Oh, they think it's a fad, that I'll come to my senses.
You're right. I think he's the Messiah, too. And I've been thinking about it for a long time.
Well, at least we're not alone.
Seems like it.
I wish I knew some other Jews who believe this, too. My knowledge of Christ lay dormant as I studied music in college and traveled with the choir all over Europe, singing in beautiful cathedrals. I would pray, Lord, if you want me to be Jewish, send me a Jewish husband. If you want me to be Christian, send me a Christian husband. When God brought Rob into my life, I thought he had answered my prayer. We dated more than 3 years before we were married. Because he was a professional musician, he was often gone on weekends and rarely went to church with me.
You want to join the church?
I don't want to be a closet Christian. I want to make a public stand for Jesus, my Messiah.
Well, what problem is this about?
I read this book while you were gone. It proves Jesus was resurrected. That means he really is God. I've asked him to be my savior.
Okay.
You don't seem very excited about it.
Well, I grew up in the church, Celeste. It's new to you, but not to me.
You need to listen to Christian radio, Rob. I've heard some great teachers, and there's a program called Unshackled that tells the stories of people who come to Christ from all kinds of backgrounds.
Whatever turns you on, Celeste.
Rob, I can't believe you. Knowing Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me. How can you be so blasé? I publicly confessed my faith in Jesus and was baptized. At first, I badgered Rob too much about Jesus. Then I learned, through my Bible teachers, to pray instead. We were both committed to our marriage and struggled to work out our differences. 2 years later, Rob confessed faith in Christ, too. Our son, John, was born after 8 years of marriage. By that time, I knew the Lord had called me into ministry, and I went to work for a prison ministry in the Chicago area. Everything was fine for 5 years. Then came the lockup simulations that uncovered my hidden past.
Honey, let me help with those.
Boy, group therapy is pretty intense stuff.
Yeah? What'd you guys talk about today?
How we met. Remember how you told me I could be girlfriend number four? What a line. How we ever got together, I don't know.
It was ordained by God, honey.
You're right. God had a plan all along. He knows the end from the beginning.
Oh, it's awesome how he salvages lives.
Yeah. Rob, some heavy stuff is coming out in this therapy.
Like what?
I was sexually abused by my father and my older brother.
Oh, Celeste, you're kidding. Tell me you're kidding.
No, I'm not.
Oh, come here, honey. Let me hold you. How come you never told me before?
I didn't recognize it as abuse. The doctor says I dissociated. That's why I don't remember clearly. I'm beginning to see why I felt confused for so long.
Could they do something like that to you? I'd have punched their lights out.
No, Rob. You know what the Bible teaches. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked.
This is so... This will be hard to forgive, Celeste.
I know. It's the hardest thing I've ever gone through in my life. But I have to do it. I've hid from the truth for too long. I'm going to confront my family and learn the truth, starting with my father.
No, you stay away from him.
Rob, My acceptance of the truth is the only thing that has changed. I'll ask him to meet me in a restaurant where he can't make a scene. Hi, Dad. I'm glad you could meet me here.
Nice. Made it sound important.
It is important.
So what's going on?
I need information about the family, and I'm going to talk to everyone, but I wanted to start with you. I'm in group therapy right now.
Group therapy? You? I thought I was the only one with problems.
I'll get right to the point, Dad. I know you abused me when I was growing up.
Kids always think they've been abused. I was better than my parents. My mom didn't want me, and she always told me so. Just because I yelled at you now and then...
The yelling was hard to take, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about sexual abuse.
Well, you're imagining that.
No, I'm not. I remember many things, like bathing together and how I had to wash and dry you. And I remember having to take naps with you. Mom told me about a time that I don't remember at all. I have gaping holes in my memory, things I blocked out of my mind.
There was never anything physical between us.
That's not true, Dad, and you know it. You probably fathered the child I aborted, and you made Gary pay for it. The things you did made me feel so worthless I wanted to die.
Maybe the things that happened weren't appropriate. But I never meant to hurt you, Celeste. You know how sick I was. I've always been sick.
Daddy, how could you? What were you thinking?
Celeste, I made some bad decisions. Every parent does. But I had my own problems, don't forget. Sometimes I heard voices telling me to do certain things. It seemed right at the time.
You actually heard voices?
Yes, yes. I thought it was God. Now I'm not so sure.
Dad, it wasn't God. You know in Leviticus chapter 18, he condemns incest.
I'm sorry, Celeste.
It'll take more than words to convince me that you're sorry, Dad.
Do you hate me?
No. Because of Jesus Christ, I can forgive you. He's forgiven me, and he'll forgive you if you ask.
Do you have to bring him into this?
He's your only hope, Dad. The love of Christ is the only power strong enough to change you. Let him into your life.
I'm too old to change.
Nothing is impossible with God.
That's enough, Celeste.
All right. But I want you to know that without Christ, you'll have to earn back my trust. I forgive you, but I still hold you accountable. And I will never leave you alone with my son. One by one, I talked with my brothers and sister. They didn't deny the things that happened to me, but didn't want to discuss them. My oldest brother was supportive, and my younger brother, being a follower of Christ, was especially helpful, and we often talked on the phone.
I remember a lot of those things, Celeste, and you're not imagining it.
Mom and Dad have always rejected me. They seldom visit us, and yet they visit you every year, even though you're 1,500 miles away.
You're right, and they know I'm a Christian, so that's not the issue.
They rejected me before I was a Christian. Mm-hmm. I've had to face the fact that I am not their favorite. Mother knew that the abuse was happening, but she only tried to stop him once. She didn't want to confront Dad.
Well, it's hard to believe, but I'm sure you're right. This must be awfully painful.
I never felt anything until I started therapy. Counseling stripped away my defenses, and then I felt the pain.
Mm. Aren't you glad you know the Lord?
I wouldn't have made it without him.
I've seen a lot of changes in you, Celeste, and you're growing in faith all the time.
Yes. I can even forgive our family because it's what Christ wants.
And how is Rob taking all this?
Oh, God gave me such a good husband. He's really understanding. He was pretty upset about what happened, but he's still respectful to Mom and Dad.
Well, that's good.
I told Mom and Dad I would never let them be alone with my son, and I don't think you should let your children be alone with them either.
Oh, why, Mom?
Because she wouldn't protect them from Dad. She didn't protect any of us. Five years after I exposed the abuse, Mother divorced my father after 51 years of marriage. They each live in retirement homes, each refusing the gospel. Recently, before Mother had surgery for cancer, my brother and my son and I took her to lunch.
Mom, have you given any more thought to our conversation coming over
here? Oh, let's not talk about that again.
Well, there's nothing more important in the whole world, Mom.
Jews don't believe that way, and you know it. Your sister would disown me if I took it seriously.
What do you care what others think, Mom? If you reject Yeshua, we might as well say goodbye now. If you don't wake up from surgery, we will never see you again. That's just how it is.
I don't believe that way.
It doesn't matter if you believe it or not. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Without Christ, you face eternal separation from God and from your loved ones that believe in him.
Yeshua loves you, Mom. He wants to give you eternal life.
I don't want to hear any more about it.
How's she doing?
Oh, she's doing fine, but I feel wrung out.
Well, don't let it get to you.
Her heart is like Teflon. The things of God just slide right off.
Yeah, she's afraid of losing the rest of the family. Most Jews are like that.
I realize today for the first time that she's a woman without hope or comfort. All I can offer her is Jesus, but she rejects him.
Mm-hmm.
And so does Dad. How can they be so blind?
Well, Satan has them deceived. Even the faith to believe comes from God, Celeste. So we've done our part in sharing Christ with them, and the Lord has to do the rest.
I won't talk about Jesus anymore with them. All we can do is pray. My parents no longer call me, but we continue to pray for them. Our son has joined us in these prayers. Who knows what God will do? He placed me in a prison ministry where I use my graduate training as a counselor, and he's given me a huge family of believers who love me. Jesus has healed me of past hurts, and his love is what sustains me. He'll do the same for you.
For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus is here to rescue those lost in sin, cut off from God by guilt. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Don't let deception keep you from salvation. Acts chapter 3, verse 19 says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." His presence in your heart gives you eternal life. Invite him into your life right now. And if you need help in this crucial decision, you're invited to get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, area 312-922-1462. Email can be sent to unshackled@pgm.org. This is program number 2548. Heard in the true story of a woman called Celeste, where Oksana Fedunyushin, Fred Stone, Rick Plastina, James Snyder, Jim Parks, Christy Martins, and Nancy Sellers. Original music, Don Badorf, sound, Nick Aloisio, engineer Ed Webb, script, Kenitha Gabler, and I'm Bob O'Donnell. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Please take a moment to let us know that you listen to these stories. Your letter means more than you know. That's Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. If you need a friend, we know a good one. Call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-922-1462. Thank you.